Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, everyone. It's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody. And everybody. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
We're on from 1 to 4 now, and you can do the podcast at the iHeartRadio app after 4 o'clock. John and Ken on demand.
We were just given a heads up that there's another news conference coming at 2:30 from the L.A. County Sheriff's Department over what happened late Saturday night in Monterey Park. This, of course, a mass shooting. The death toll is now 11 people. That was also an update in the last couple of hours, an 11th person has passed away. And you talk about out of the profile, a 72-year-old man is the mass shooter. The median age over the past six decades is supposedly 32.
Is this the oldest mass shooter in history?
I did not look that part of it up.
I can't remember an older guy.
It's got to be pretty close to that. And of course, when the news of this first came out, right away, some people jumped to hate crime.
Oh, every Democratic politician.
A couple of news stations I was watching, they even brought on their hate experts.
Yeah, right. Media, the woke media and the woke politicians, they all jumped to hate crime. Nobody wanted to wait. Nobody wanted to wait 5 minutes to see that it was a guy maybe angry with an ex-wife.
It wasn't that long before they put out the word that it was an Asian male they were looking for. Hu Can Tran. His name, and then, of course, you know by now, he ended up near me in Torrance. I'm like, what was he doing down here? When they boxed in his van in a parking lot not far from the Del Amo Mall, and he had shot himself to death when they finally broke in to that van. So Steve Gregory, of course, covering this. I heard him shouting out questions at press conferences yesterday.
Yes, he was.
Yes, I was, and getting into trouble.
I heard you. That's exactly when I tuned in. I said right away, I know whose voice that is.
Yes. Steve was a little impatient for information.
Impatient for information. That's, story of my life.
All right, so Steve is here with everything else we can learn about this horrible shooting.
And it's interesting that you guys, you know, you started right on the shoot by how people jumped to the conclusion that this was a hate crime. And you're right. I mean, people right out of the chute were starting to label this thing as a hate crime. I got the call at 3 o'clock yesterday morning. I got there on scene just before 4 a.m. And by 8 a.m., it was already a narrative. And I remember the first official press conference, Hilda Solis, county supervisor, had come out and started making this sort of long speech about hate crimes and that these hate crimes have to stop and sort of implied that this was a hate crime. Now, there was absolutely no evidence to this point that that was a hate crime. It could have been a gang shooting because we were operating on that theory as well, because this could have been the way it happened and the amount of people involved. We were thinking it could have been a gang retaliation until we started to hear word. I was getting it from sources pretty quickly on that they were looking for a man in his 70s, an Asian man in his 70s. Now, we weren't able to go on the air with that because I couldn't corroborate it. But then when we found out that the witnesses were starting to describe the people inside the dance club as being in their 60s and 70s, then we were probably thinking that was not a gang hit. But that seemed very disturbing in itself. You don't really hear about these mass shootings involving people that age.
No, when you hear about it happening at night, you're thinking it's like a young person's dance club. And I heard it was a dance studio. That's what I thought at first. Right. I heard ballroom dancing. Right. Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
That's not a young crowd.
No, and in that particular community and culture, that's a very popular event. That's a very popular regular event and social event. And then, you know, after the shooting happened on Saturday night, minutes later, this Hu Can Tran had taken off over to Alhambra and walked into another dance hall over there. And as he, you know, raised his gun and started to enter the ballroom, a young man there basically attacked him and was able to get the gun away from him. And then Tran took off. And then, as we know, hours later, he was found in Torrance inside a white van. So obviously, all the talk now is motive. There are theories now about how he had been in those clubs before. He was a dance instructor, according to a neighbor. He lived in a trailer by himself in Hemet. There's been no definitive information about whether or not he had a wife, had been married, was dating somebody. There was no indication officially from official sources that that was the case. A lot of speculation by bystanders and people that were at the party that night or at the dance that night. So we've not been able to independently confirm it. Now, this update coming up in a little bit, we're not sure whether that's going to be about identifying the victims, those that had been shot and killed, or if this is going to be more about the suspect himself.
I think there are two names that have been released as far as victims are concerned. Or was that in addition to the man that owned the dance studio? His name came out quickly later yesterday. He passed away, and apparently he tried to intervene.
Right.
I'm guessing he may have recognized Hu as being there before. And you're right. Everybody is scrambling now for motive. And did you guys see the video of him being disarmed at the club in Alhambra? That's pretty wild.
Yeah, it is.
And this old guy with the beanie fighting away there. He's got the little winter beanie on.
Yeah, and he had that winter beanie on all the way up till the point that he shot and killed himself yesterday in the white van.
Yeah, and sadly, when I heard this yesterday and they had no idea what was going on, I said, all right, well, you disarmed him. Why didn't you detain him? Because when he ran off, I said, you know, you let him get away. Who knows what he's going to do next? But they did not know he had already shot up the other club.
No, right? Not at all. And yeah, this is one of those situations. And you guys were talking also that you hadn't heard about an older person shooting up a place. Now, you remember he had the church shooter in Orange County?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, he was a little older.
Yeah.
And the Vegas shooter.
Vegas shooter 66. I thought of him. I just thought this guy may have been the oldest at 72.
Possibly, yeah. Because this is very unusual. All around, very unusual. It doesn't fit any kind of a model. That's for sure.
Right.
And I mean, if it, there's only a few categories of what make people go crazy like this, especially late in life. And that's why I think this idea that there was a wife, an ex-wife, some kind of jealousy, some kind of snub that he wasn't invited to the party there. Right. So, you know, because there's all these news stories in front of me from various sources hint at all this, but like you said, there's no official explanation.
No.
But it's sources, it's somebody saying, somebody told me.
Right.
And there's nothing for sure. But all the rumors are in that realm of
And they're also going
jealousy,
down
broken relationship.
Mentally ill because supposedly he filed a police report in Hemet that his family was trying to poison him some years ago. He started to get these paranoid feelings. There's other reports that he thought they were saying evil things about him at this dance studio, and he was headed there for some type of revenge on that basis.
So this was not something that this was not a sudden trigger. Something that, you know, this sounds like that he had issues for quite some time.
Yeah.
And he picked the Lunar New Year celebration, I guess, as a way to really make his mark.
Presumably, unless, again, there was a specific reason in whether he was thinking that he wanted to do the most possible harm with the least amount of effort. That's usually what I'm told by psychologists, police psychologists, that that's how they think sometimes, that, that a shooter wants to go in and do the most possible damage and cause the most grief with the least amount of effort. Mm-hmm.
And right. You could shoot 20 people in less than a minute.
And so in him choosing that location, it does sound like at the very least that there was a connection of some kind between that first dance club and him. Whether he was a teacher at that dance club, whether he had friends that went to that dance club, but there is some sort of a connection to him.
And the second dance club in Alhambra that he tried to,
it's possible.
He was also there. I heard reports that he'd also frequented that place.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. So I think investigators are going to start to have a better profile on this guy, and they're going to be able to piece this together in a way that they may not have all the answers, but they're going to certainly have more answers than we have now.
Do we know if he had any business in Torrance?
No, that one's again.
He just wandered there. It seems,
and he was. It was the sharp eyes of Torrance police officers that spotted the van and the license plate, and they didn't. And I know that they didn't catch him the first time because the license plate was stolen, so it didn't match the plate they were looking for. And then when they realized that that was a stolen plate, then they were able to catch back up with him.
Now, was there a chase, or did he just end up stopping in that parking lot and they boxed him in?
No, the way it was told to me by a very reliable source is that when that police officers came in and then they followed him into a parking lot, so they presumed that he was aware that he was being followed, that he pulled into that parking lot and abruptly stopped, and then officers waited for a second, called it in, and they got out and slowly approached the van, and as they slowly approached, they saw a puff of smoke come out of the window.
Oh, that's
and they heard the gunshot, himself. And they realized he'd shot himself.
Yeah, I saw there was a bullet hole, it looked like, in the driver's side glass.
Yeah.
And you see, later on, they brought in all sorts of explosives experts.
Right.
There was, some rumor that he was experienced with explosives or something?
The reason they do, they would have done that anyway, because you had a panel van with no windows. So they had absolutely no idea what was in that van or whether or not there was another shooter in there. They didn't know if at this point they thought there might have been just a lone gunman, if you will. But in this particular case, they didn't know what they were dealing with, and they had to operate with an abundance of caution. So they had to bring in bomb squad. They had to bring in
they had those two big tank.
Those bear
cars,
cats.
Yeah.
Bear those, cats.
And they boxed him in from the front and back so he couldn't get away.
And here's the thing. I love how some of the other outlets were reporting a standoff. There was no standoff. The man was dead.
Right.
The man was already slumped over and dead over the steering wheel. There was no standoff.
You could clearly see that. I mean, they were taking helicopter shots, but I wasn't quite sure if I could see into the...
To John's point...
There was a side photo on the LA Times pretty early. You could see him slumped over the wheel.
And the first Bearcat went right up to the front.
Yeah.
And they looked in and saw it. So they knew... The guys on the ground knew what they were dealing with already, but... these are the same people that report all kinds of stuff. You know, they just report it all as fact.
Yeah.
So. All right, Steve, but not you, right?
Well, no, I piss everyone off apparently. So,
yeah. Well,
what were you in the front row there at some of those news conferences?
Oh, I'm always in the front row. I sit down there, and I'm telling you, those guys. Every time I show up, they just sit there and they just shake their head because they don't know what I'm going to do next.
Yeah. Mm. Well, good.
Good thing Barbara Ferrer wasn't there.
You still have the spirit of KFI.
That old spirit, huh?
Yeah.
Steve,
thanks
a lot.
Thanks, guys.
Steve Gregory has been covering, of course, the Monterey Park mass shooting since it unfolded late Saturday night with an update. Again, there'll be a news conference at 2:30 that KFI will carry from the Sheriff's Department, LA County Sheriff's in Monterey Park. More coming up. Oh, I guess a keyword, right? It's coming up next. A chance to win money. KFI AM 640 live everywhere. The iHeartRadio app. All right. Again, there'll be another news conference at 2:30. You'll hear it on KFI from the LA County Sheriff's Department about the Monterey Park mass shooting, which has now claimed the lives of 11 people. There was another life lost in the last few hours. This gunman, of course, went to two dance studios. The first one in Monterey Park is where he got to open fire and actually get away and killed all those people. He made his way to a second dance studio about 2 miles away in Alhambra. This is the Lai Ballroom and Studio. And apparently they did have a special dance going on. Again, Sunday began the Lunar New Year. So a lot of people were out celebrating, especially in those neighborhoods of Monterey Park and Alhambra. So he went to that place to probably try to kill more people. Sometimes it just takes a lot of luck to have the right person in the right place who decides to do the right thing. And his name is Brandon Tsai, T-S-A-Y. His family owns that studio in Alhambra. He works at the ticket office. And I guess things were just getting going, but when he heard the front door close, he heard the metal of the gun clinking, and he just knew something wasn't right. Good Morning America scored the interview. Let's listen to part of it.
Well, it was Chinese New Year's. We were hosting a social dance party. I was in the lobby. It was late into the evening. Most of our customers already left. I wasn't paying attention to the front door. I was looking into the dance ballroom, the dance floor. And this is when I heard the sound of the front door creaking closing. And instantly followed by the sound of a metal object clinking together as if they were rubbing. That's when I turned around and saw that there was an Asian man holding a gun. My first thoughts was, I was gonna die here. This was it.
Did you recognize him at all?
Then, no, I did not recognize him. This was somebody I have never seen before. He didn't seem like he was here for any money. He wasn't here to rob us. When he was looking around the room, it seemed like he was looking for targets, people to harm. This is when he started prepping the weapon, and something came over me. I realized I needed to get the weapon away from him. I needed to take this weapon, disarm him, or else everybody would have died. When I got the courage, I lunged at him with both my hands, grabbed the weapon, and we had a struggle. We struggled into the lobby, trying to get this gun away from each other. He was hitting me across the face, bashing the back of my head. I was trying to use my elbows to separate the gun away from him, creating some distance. Finally, at one point, I was able to pull the gun away from him, shove him aside, create some distance, point the gun at him, intimidate him, shout at him and say, "Get the hell out of here. I'll shoot. Get away. Go." And at this point, I thought he would run away, but he was just standing there contemplating whether to fight or to run away. I really thought I would have to shoot him if he came at me. This is when he turned around and walked out the door, jogged back to his van. I immediately called police with the gun still in my hand.
It's a remarkable story, although that last part, when I first heard it, I was like a raccoon that's in your garbage can. Get out! Go away! Leave here! Like you're shooing away a pesky animal, right? Instead of a guy that wanted to kill a bunch of people. It's just an odd reaction, but clearly this man was operating off of adrenaline and just jumped into action.
Oh, he probably could have saved dozens of lives there.
Absolutely. I mean, even if it's an old guy with a shaky hand just trying to shoot people, when you're shooting with this kind of weapon, you can just hit people left and right.
Also,
he said a lot of people were leaving for the night, so I don't know how many people were still around.
He doesn't know if he was coming in to shoot everyone up or if he's just a weird homeless person. Or a weird robber. So like, if he knew that he had just shot 20 people, he might have pinned him down to the ground and aimed the gun at him until the police came.
But what he did was give police that cargo van description, which got them started. And then maybe somebody must have, from the first shooting, recognized this guy because he'd been there. He supposedly was a teacher there. It's years ago. And of course, Steve said it's not confirmed yet, but you know there are reports that this man met a woman at the Monterey Park dance studio and eventually married her. Not for long. They were divorced. That was years ago. But there was some that think he was going there looking for her.
Well, there's the Monterey Park mayor, Henry Lowe, went on NBC and said that my understanding is that he may have come because his ex-wife was reveling, celebrating the Lunar New Year, and it sounded like there was a history of domestic violence. Tran filed for divorce in 2005. NBC has tried to contact who they believe is the ex-wife, but so far, no.
Yeah.
And no word if she would have been a victim or even if she was really there.
Yeah, I think one member of the media talked to her and she said he was not violent, but he had a temper. And meaning that maybe she wasn't violent with him, but he did have a temper and he could go off. But what I saw in other stories was he was heading down real paranoid mental illness row with thinking everybody was out to get him. People were saying evil things about him.
Yeah.
And of course, that story, living in a senior mobile home community in Hemet, that story that his family was trying to poison him. So that's where paranoia enters the equation. Do we know anything about where he got these guns? Has he had these guns a long time? Or I haven't seen any stories on that yet.
I always don't think it matters. It's easy to buy a gun. It's easy to steal a gun. It's easy to alter a gun. It's an anything goes country when it comes to guns. So
it sounds like he must have planned this because they're saying that van had stolen license plates.
Yeah.
So that sounds like he was working on a plan that even if he gets away, they'll trace a different vehicle.
But, I don't think it was spontaneous in the moment as something that was building up inside him.
No, when he picked the Lunar New Year celebrations, there'd be a lot of people gathering in this community.
Might have had a total mental breakdown that was building up over time, and finally he had enough of everything and was going to take everybody out and take himself out, and that's what he did.
Yeah, and again, we're just beginning to learn the names of some of the victims, and they are older people, a lot of people in their 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. They say even some people in their 90s would go to this club. We understand that the news conference has already slid to 3 o'clock, but we'll bring you any updates on the Monterey Park mass shooting when we get them.
Well, I hope if they're going to have the press conference, they give out a lot of information, because that was the thing Steve was squawking at them about. because the press conferences, and we talked about this for years, all the officials come and they thank one another and then they thank each other again. And then they tell you what they can't say instead of just coming out and telling you what they can say and getting it over in 30 seconds. And it's frustrating to cover, and it's not fair to the public. It's not fair to everybody's time in the media who try to cover
these things.
But
the good news is the reporters can hammer them with the questions, and if they don't want to answer them, they don't have to, but at least they put it out there to see if they can get anything.
Get rid of the round of thank yous. That's a crusade we're never going to get off of.
It isn't, because it's their chance with a lot of cameras and microphones in front of them to really say, hey, we're great.
Steve's right. They're wrong.
All right. More coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app. We're now heard from 1 to 4 p.m. here on KFI. Reminder that if you cannot listen to the show live, it's easy to pick up the podcast at KFIAM640.com. It's posted right up there not long after we finish at 4. Or, of course, the iHeartRadio app. Our guest at 2:05 will be Rachel. That's all we're calling her by. She was on our show last year to talk about almost being killed by a young driver who apparently didn't care when he came down this street in Venice neighborhood of Los Angeles. She was out there walking her infant son in a stroller, and this guy just veered into him. And she ended up toppling over the windshield. Fortunately, neither she nor the son seriously hurt. But of course, what followed was an ordeal with the LA County system of justice, led by George Gascon, the DA, who gave that driver, because he was 15 at the time, a really, really light punishment, basically summer camp. Well, the update is he's dead. He apparently was from Palmdale, and he was killed in a shooting recently. Now I think 17 years old.
Yeah.
We'll talk to Rachel about this, and we believe she left Los Angeles, too. We'll also see if we can confirm that. So she'll be our guest at 2:05. A reminder that the Monterey Park mass shooting updates will come constantly on KFI. Steve Gregory, our reporter, all over it. There is a news conference scheduled for 3 o'clock. The only updates we have today in the last couple of hours, the death toll has reached 11 in the shooting in Monterey Park. Well, John, you have an opportunity to once again do some civic duty. I think iHeart has a community service day that you can take. So I'm asking you to do is be part of, because it starts tomorrow night, the homeless count. The Los Angeles Homeless Services Agency, LASA, really awful, is assembling volunteer teams to go out at night beginning tomorrow. It's in the San Fernando and San Gabriel Valleys tomorrow. East and West L.A., John, will be counted on Wednesday, January 25th. So maybe you want to be a part of that, get to your neighborhood.
Yeah, I cannot think of a bigger waste of time than counting homeless bodies for LASA. Can you imagine something more pointless, more fruitless?
And at night. You can't even see. It's less safe. And I don't really know why you'd want to do this at night. Look, but they think that's because they've hunkered down and you can find them. Otherwise, they're wandering during the day. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't care. No, what's the purpose of it? There's no purpose because...
Well, they want to put out a number so they get money.
They're getting money anyway. They're getting many billions of dollars no matter what the number is.
But and whoever provides the money wants to know, what are we dealing with now? 10,000 homeless or 100,000 homeless?
What does it matter?
Because they won't give you the money unless you give them something.
That's a stupid rule.
Bureaucrats want stats.
We shouldn't give them the money because it doesn't do any good.
Well, it's not we. It's people like Newsom and the federal government.
My point is that whether we give them a little money or a lot of money, the homelessness goes up. Whether we count it right or wrong or don't count it, the homelessness goes up. The amount of money we spend and whether we get an accurate count has no bearing on the situation in the streets because people are coming from all 50 states here to live. And they're not stopped by how much money we give to the system, and they're not stopped by whether we're counting properly or not.
Yeah, well, another outfit declared last week that stat is wrong, that most of the people they talked to became homeless in L.A. That's a lie that they're all coming from out of state.
You know what? Yeah, I know. But you know why?
They fell into homelessness in L.A.
Because they realized that the fact that these are out-of-towners builds public hostility to these programs and public hostility to the homeless. Because if it's really people in the neighborhood, you know, normally that would be something the local church would take care of, right?
Right.
That's in the old days when life was normal, you had a handful of people who have trouble and the church handles those things or maybe some other, you know, private organizations. But now this is just wholesale chaos. And it's because they take trains and buses and planes here, or they drive here, and they set up camp because they know, there's no rules.
Well, the other thing about this, which we touched on a few months ago, sometimes they're dead wrong. Remember that entire tract in Venice that everyone knew had a big encampment, had a zero on the Lhasa homeless camp? Remember that story?
I know. And then you
everyone was like, are you kidding me?
And you know what that is about. That's Bonin and Garcetti making a phone call, and they said, make that number disappear, and then we'll just blame it on the app being on the fritz. That's what that is. I mean, it's basic stuff. When you're a politician and there's something that's really embarrassing, really bad news, you make it go away, you create some nonsense excuse for it, and the progressives write your lie in a big headline. That's how the game is
played. The story says it is HUD. The U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development requires a count be conducted in the last days of January every year.
But they don't need an accurate count. They just need a count.
Yo, it's not accurate.
And it looks like they're way short of volunteers because they're in the 3,000s.
Yeah.
And I think they wanted 7 or 8,000.
Oh, counters?
Counters, yeah. And no, why would you volunteer? I mean, maybe if you and your friends, you know, were doing it as a goof. But, I mean, I just can't imagine a bigger waste of time. And this is really what's wrong with the stupid government. Well, instead of counting, why don't you just go and force these people indoors? Whatever they did in Venice the other day to clear out the crowd near that bridge home, do that. If that's a real story and that really worked, then keep doing that.
Yeah, if that sticks.
If that sticks.
I'm still safe. If you're not dealing with their dysfunctions, it ain't going to stick. They're eventually going to say, I don't want to stay in this hotel room anymore.
Well, that's what we're going to track. But the thing is, I don't think Bonin and Garcetti were even bothering to try to get them off the street even for a week.
Yeah. Oh, but you were right. They wanted 8,000 people, but now they're only going to get 3,000, and their goal is to get 5,000 volunteers. So there's still time for you to sign up.
No, don't volunteer. Stay home. Well, you're just going to end up getting stabbed. You want to get stabbed because you were counting the homeless?
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app. We're going to talk to the mother of a young son who was almost mowed down and killed in Venice by a then 15-year-old driver who was already on probation because he tried to poison a high school girl's drink. This was a seriously troubled person. George Gascon gave him very light treatment, even though he sideswiped Rachel, and she was with a stroller. And fortunately, she didn't get seriously hurt.
But there is some justice in the universe.
He got very little time from Gascon as far as punishment when this happened. Went to basically a summer camp. Well, the update is that we now know his name, Christopher Baca. He's now 17 and he's dead. He was fatally shot on a driveway up in Palmdale. We don't know a lot about what happened there, but we'll talk to Rachel, who has left Los Angeles, after the news at 2 o'clock. Well, we can now say it appears that the Fed is officially dead. And I want to say, before we even get into this story, we are not picking on the vegan. She is not a supporter of the fake meat.
Thank you.
All right, because John goes after her and she has no interest in this stuff. But we all know about the Impossible Burger and Beyond Meat. And it looks like, a long story in Bloomberg, they are absolutely fading away. They think there'll be a niche. They were supposed to be a game changer in the world of alternatives to people eating meat.
It was all hype.
But that is all hype, and people are moving away from it. Their sales stock prices have plunged. Supermarket sales of refrigerated plant-based meat have plummeted 14% in just the last year.
And you know why? It tastes like garbage. That's why.
And I love it. It's later on in this story. There's one woman who thought she was going to change her health. She goes to her doctor. The results don't change. And he looked at her and said, well, you're eating processed food. That's not good.
What I've read...
And that's what it is, the way they put this together.
Well, what I've read with these fake food substitutes, that's all the rage, it's got enormous amounts of butter and sugar in it in order to make it palatable. None of this tastes good. And I remember when I bit into one of these fake burgers when we went to Bruno's for Katarina's Club, the first bite, it felt okay. Like the texture, I guess, was a good recreation. But then all of a sudden, this terrible aftertaste.
Yeah, there's something that sets in, right?
Because as you bite in, the juices were released from this.
And if they grill it, it's got a grilled taste. So that kind of throws you off originally.
Right. But when you bite into it, as your teeth hit, it releases the juices from these fake ingredients. And the juices are disgusting, right? Because it's all, I don't know, pea juice or whatever the hell it is.
Yeah, one uses soy, one uses mashed peas.
Yeah, that's right. Soy juice, mashed pea juice.
But there's beet juice in there to make it bloody.
Right. And it's all for the texture and the look. But the taste? Horrific.
I have an alternative for you.
An alternative?
No, seriously, for people who don't want to eat the fake meat. When I was in Cabo, I actually had a fried avocado burger. And it was amazing. No, seriously, because the
can we turn her off? No more with the avocados.
No, but listen, it was thick.
You're going to turn into one.
And it was
Isn't
very
Isn't that
satisfying.
Why you had that lime green fluorescent pantsuit?
Yeah,
because
exactly.
You've become an avocado?
Yeah, you've become but I a like human that avocado. Suit.
So anyway, it's gross tasting is what it is.
My favorite part of the story, Impossible was the brainchild of a Stanford University biochemist. He realized that he made a big breakthrough that a molecule called heme, H-E-M-E, was the key to meat's meatiness. He made heme with genetically modified yeast, patented the use of what the company called the magic ingredient. You want to know what the magic ingredient is? Soy leg hemoglobin. Boy, that's really appealing, isn't it? That's your magic ingredient in the Impossible Burger, soy leg hemoglobin. Sounds like some component of blood or something.
It does.
It's horrible.
They put the blood through a chemical process.
I had one. I went to Carl's and had whatever they were selling. I think it was Beyond Meat. And I ate it once and said, it's average, but there's nothing special about it. So
they hired Kim Kardashian, Beyond Meat.
Bill Gates was excited about this, too. Bill Gates was really worked up over this.
But Kardashian was going to be the chief taste consultant. You could make your own joke for this. But then they noticed that she didn't seem to be actually eating the burger in a commercial. And so Kardashian had to release footage showing that later on she had swallowed the food.
Oh.
But on the commercial, she didn't actually do that.
No.
Because, again, all this stuff tastes terrible. But I understand you could make a good amount of money for a while, right? This is a great market to get into because there's so many foolish people jumping on a trend. You know, some of them are just like, oh, I can't kill any more cows. And others just think, oh, well, this is the cool thing to do. All my friends are doing it. Yeah, let's have Impossible Burgers and Beyond Meat Burgers. And then you try it once, twice, three times. Like, wow, this is foul. This is you know, it's got the consistency of sewage. It's terrible.
Yeah, the ingredients was just a mashup of a whole bunch of processed foods, things to give it color, things try to imitate the taste of meat.
There is no reason to replace meat. People who like meat are going to buy meat until doomsday. If you don't like it, then go eat something else.
You can make a lentil burger if you feel like you want a bun and the lettuce and the tomato and the onions and the mustard or ketchup. You can do that.
Bang my head against the window. Yes, I know you could do that, but that's all tastes terrible.
No, that doesn't taste terrible. It's just lentils and maybe
some
peas.
Can we shut the vegan window?
Something like that. Not the
this cashier is closed.
Fake stuff.
She's like those people who ring your doorbell.
I'm trying to share. You know? I'm just trying to share what I have found.
They have religious pamphlets.
No, I'm not trying to convert anybody. I'm just saying if you don't want the fake meat, that's an alternative. You don't have to do it.
All right.
No skin off my back.
And now they were moving towards fake sausages. Oh, boy.
It's a horrible, horrible fad.
All right. When we come back, our guest will be Rachel. She was on our show last year to talk about her ordeal where a teenage driver looked like he was coming right after her and her son out for a walk in a Venice neighborhood. And after this guy was caught, it was light punishment from George Gascon, the L.A. County D.A., which really got Rachel concerned. He got like time at a summer camp. Well, the update, tragically, is that he has been killed. He's now a 17-year-old and was killed in Palmdale. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
And Deborah Mark, live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.